Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. It's Vinnie's jokes. I mean, seriously, they're just awful.
And my very special guest joining me today is Rex Beer from the Leak Project. And many people may be confusing the Leak Project with the legume, a vegetarian equivalent of the same name. But no, it's about information. Uncensored, unedited, straight into your eyeballs and brain places alike. Rex Beer, welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, how the heck are you?
You know, I'm somewhat fabulous. Other than that, like shit. Thanks for asking, bro. And yourself, what have you been up to?
Oh, man, I've been moving for the past several days, and I'm literally moving right now, and that's one of my least favorite things to do is move. It sucks.
It really does. And I've had some akin notion of what that's like of late. So, you know... All these stresses and things of that nature. You know, sometimes you forget when you're looking at, I don't know, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp or whatever, that, hey, truth movement people got real life issues too.
Hello. Well, it's just making me realize that, so Thursday we had movers come out. They spent 10 hours and we helped them and they still didn't get everything moved. So we're out here today just finishing up. Like the final run, and now we're living down by the river, so we got free water.
Down by the riverside, and if people want to check out the Leak Project, the website is leakproject.com, and for those who don't know anything about you, we'll get them to get you to tell us who you are and what it is you do in a moment. But first, some sponsorship is absolutely necessary to keep the show on the air, ladies and gentlemen. We have lawyer bills and things of that nature from the arrest last year, from which there is still very little progress. We're going to be heading into court on the 28th of August, so that's 2 months today. Ladies and gentlemen, so the law fees and all of that kind of thing, we do need a lot of support to help cover those, including a recent nearly $1,800 legal bill, which we still haven't been able to really pay any of, despite your donations and attempts, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like, oh man, things are going hard. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com /donate.html, and then you can donate through PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon. And if you want to give me a call and give me my help with your project or idea, or you want a guest to come on the show, all my contact details are below there. After you've already donated, click here for your special rewards. You can even join the Secret Donors Club on Fudgebook. Our sponsors, of course, are David Holden's HoldenHealthcare.com, emphasis on the care. David Holden's a naturopathic oncologist and a specialist in hard to treat cases. So if you've been through the medical ringer and gone through medication after medication that just keeps making your condition worse, go to HoldenHealthcare.com and they actually work with you and get to know you to figure out all the reasons why your health is the way it is. I'd like to welcome Kiwi Bear Muzza, my mod, into the Twitch chat today, and the people watching on Facebook and DLive as well. We got the audio issue sorted on the DLive, and thank you very much to the people like Just Mac and 777 Jack who let us know about those issues during the last week's broadcast. Now, reopen.nz is our other sponsor, and they've got a list of freedom businesses who are basically joining a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. So if you want to add your business on there, go to reopen.nz. The archives of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com are being put up by the lovely Julia. And if you go to any archive, there should be her PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon links so that you can support her archiving efforts. And this is because we got deplatformed and lost all the links to all the archives on the Vinnie Eastwood Show running for like 15 years. So it's a monumental task. And so please go to any archive on the show, archives of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and donate to Julia. Set up some automatic payments or something of that nature. We're also being carried by peopleforpeople.ning.com. If you want to go there and set up an account, ladies and gentlemen, they will wind up getting you in there, and you can listen to shows like mine and Dr. Rima Labo and Billy TK as well, as incidentally the guy I was arrested with. And we're also being carried on the onegreatworknetwork.com, and there's a huge list of creators on there of great caliber. So hopefully you can check them out too. Now, back to our very special guest, the wonderful Rex Bear from The Leak Project. And we're doing this camera shy today, both he and I. just, you know, I remember Rex back in the day when I first started doing talk radio. I think it was like 5 days a week on American Freedom Radio, Tuesday through Saturday, from 4 a.m. till 6 a.m. That was a tough round of to get into talk radio, and being able to do it in your dressing gown, that helped a lot.
It's always cool, man, when you can just do podcast videos directly from your garage or down by the river, in a van down by the river. Technology's great. So anybody that doesn't think technology's great and they're using it on a regular basis, it's like, get a grip, man. It's okay. You don't have to stick it in your head yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plug it in, man. It's the Borg. Why not?
Food's bad, man. Don't eat it. Air's bad. Don't breathe it.
I know, right? Pretty soon it's just going to be nanotechnology for spices and less calories. They'll be like, well, we have new nanotechnology now, and you don't even have to worry about this. It's no calories. It just amplifies your thoughts.
I mean, the great thing would be if you could get the natural world in tune with technology, and then you've got something that actually counterbalances each other, right? But that's not what's planned here. It's technology taking over the frickin' natural world. And you know, whenever you get out of balance with that mentality, you wind up killing a whole lot of people and destroying pretty much everything that you hope to build. So I'm uninterested in that idea to a large degree. But as a sci-fi nerd, thinking about all the things that technology could be used for, it often now gets placated by the thought of, what could it be misused for, right? Like, if I use a cell phone and I do a broadcast or I cover a protest or something like that, that's using it for good. But if I just sat there on social media and doing such and such and blah, blah, blah for 8 hours a day and making myself nuts with a device addiction, who does that help?
The manufacturers that sell it to you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you're the corporate masters and their agenda. You get a dopamine rush every time you get a text, right? So it's like you literally get hooked to the phone or to the text or to the email or to the comment. And technology, once again, is great. I think it's fantastic. I just hope that we can have nature have that perfect balance. Let's amplify nature with technology. Let's use technology to heal nature. You're not going to – you ever hear the saying nature heals?
Nature hills? No, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, that's a pretty popular saying here in the States. Like, go back to nature. Nature is healing. Nature heals. And so, you know, you go out in the forest, you walk in the forest barefoot, and, you know, you touch the trees and you smell the grass and the flowers. I mean, that's a healing environment oftentimes versus being in a corporate jungle surrounded by noise and pollution and artificial means and artificial frequencies. Nature, go back to nature. It heals. That's the saying.
Yeah, I thought you said nature heals, but it's just an accentual issue. So as I say before, Rex, please just give people a little bit of a background about who you are, what it is you do.
Sure. Okay. I do podcasts, usually about two or three a day. I've been doing this now for 7 years with Leak Project, and Leak Project started to bring awareness outside of the mainstream. Like, we cover topics, everything from nanotechnologies to ancient Sumerian tablets and everything in between. If it's important, we're hopefully going to talk about it. And we just bring a different perspective versus the corporate agenda that seems to be more scripted now than it was 40 years ago. It seems like now it's all agenda driven. And yeah, man, we've been doing a lot of uncovering of ancient cultures in the States recently. I've had an opportunity to meet some amazing natives. I've made great friends with the Hopi elder, a Zuni elder, a Navajo friend of mine, and I've got a chance to go to their homes and hear their stories and testimonies. And it's fascinating when you learn about the Hopi customs and traditions and the native traditions of the Zuni, because a lot of it will connect with other cultures around the world from different timelines. And it's made me realize that we're a part of a amnesia culture, and we have been connected globally off and on for tens of thousands of years. So we've had very highly advanced civilizations that something has caused that culture to go back into start over phase. And I've uncovered a lot of these technologies aren't necessarily alien technologies, but our ancestors, like the megaliths, etc.
I think it's like perspective. That's what true knowledge of the ancient censored history really gives you. It's sort of like, you know how a lot of Christian Bible bashers will be talking about, you know, revelations today and things of that nature. But when you look at all the ancient texts and things of that nature, it really does put it into context, as it were.
Well, you know, I mean, I did a video recently where somebody left a comment about the Bible, and they're like, how come such and such is the only religion that has a Bible and da 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 da. And I basically explained to them the Bible is a combination of 66 books that have been compiled by the Council of Nicaea. And then I explained the Sumerian and the Akkadian and the Egyptian influence. And they missed all that. And then they basically called me out and said, no, it's not. It's all from the Catholic such and such. And I just thought to myself, you have no freaking clue, because if you've read these ancient Sumerian and Akkadian tablets, you'll realize that they're much more descriptive than what's in the Bible, but they're telling the same stories oftentimes. And then that will connect to astrotheology, which is the zodiac wheel and the stars. So there's a lot of ignorance out there. And that's another reason, like, I started Leak Project, because I just, for whatever reason, man, I don't know what it is. I want people to have a chance to know what's going on, right? And this, with what they're taught, they're so brainwashed oftentimes. Not always, but most people, the majority, are completely suppressed and under just hardcore mind control. And so I just felt like it might be fun to unplug some people, because that's what I got good at doing with my work. I mean, I was talking about the same stuff when I used to work for a Fortune 100 company. And my boss one time was like, Rex, you got to chill out, man. You're freaking everybody out. So, yeah, we started Leak Project. And then, you know, we were doing a lot more stuff on aliens when we started Leak Project. But now we're getting into everything that is important right now to the world, I feel. And a lot of the stuff in the biblical, like Revelation, you talk about Revelation. There's parts of Revelation that have actually happened, but it's connected to the stars. So you could say it's prophecy, or else these people that wrote Revelation with the Council of Nicaea knew where the stars were going to be lined up several hundred years later, and they could decode it as prophecy. and then people follow that so you can control people's minds with religion.
I remember just last election, actually, I was talking to the leaders of a political party here, and they were reading out of their Bible to me about the seven crowns and the seven blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, that all sounds like star movements. All right.
Yeah.
And they looked up at the stars and said, you see that cluster right there? That's the seven stars they're talking about. All right. So basically what you can do is, because all the stars move in a certain direction anyway, you can just attach all this meaning to them and what have you, and give it to people out of context. So these people actually believed at that time. And I think it was the 2020 or 2019 or election or whatever it was, that the world was about to end because there was some mention of some stars or something like that in the Bible. And just, come on, man. Like, seriously. It's just,
right.
You know, there's no real critical thought being brought to bear here. And that's the whole idea behind context and understanding, you know, that there are links to the Kabbalah and Freemasonry, or there are links to astrotheology and Christianity and so on and so forth. And when it really gets down to it, basically, what if there really is something to it? What if the movement of the stars and the heavens and the so on and so forth actually does have real effect down here? And that's why Hollywood people in particular pay a lot of money for professional astrotheologists or whatever it is to read for them and to tell them when they should make deals, when they shouldn't. You know, is Mercury in retrograde and so on and so forth? And if you really look down and you kind of like, you know how when people who have a bad diet, they don't realize what they eat. But when they start writing everything down that they're eating, they look back at it after a month, they're like, whoa, okay. And imagine if the moon and the stars and all the movements of the heavens actually had real effect on your body. And if you're writing down what you were doing every day and stuff like that, and then went back and compared them, you'd be like, whoa, there is something going on here.
Astrology is one of the oldest sciences. Astrology and astronomy used to be the same, and then it was divided. And now when most people think of astrology, they might connect it to the horoscope and think of it as fluff, and a lot of it is. But the true astrologers, like my friend Mark Lerner, he's been doing it for 40 plus years. If you know astrology, you can use that as a solid tool to give you an edge. It's, you know, it's not going to give you everything, but it's certainly going to give you an edge. And that's why billionaires use astrology, and it works. I don't know why. It's like the blueprint of your soul when you're born. It's kind of like, for whatever reason, these planetary bodies and these influences have an effect on your soul for this go around with your physical body, because we're all stardust, I guess, in a sense, physically. That might have something to do with it. But you know what's interesting, man? Like, you probably read the Epic of Gilgamesh or some of these older Sumerian tablets. Yeah. That talk about. Okay, well, the Epic of Gilgamesh is pretty cool. Like, Gilgamesh is trying to reach immortality, so he's got to fight off like these giant scorpions, and then he's got to fight off the lion, he's got to fight off the bull, and then you got to go, well, wait a second, those are all zodiac signs. So does it make more sense that Gilgamesh is literally fighting off giant scorpions, or it's a part of the zodiac wheel? It's a part of the celestial movements. And then you look at some of the Christian depictions of the Christ, of Jesus in the center of the zodiac wheel, and then you're like, whoa, okay, now it's starting to make sense. But then you're like, well, my pastor told me that you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. But that's what it is. So that's where the real secrets are, and they're hiding a lot of this knowledge through religion, but also just through ignorance. Now it's starting to become very commonly known. And I've noticed that even the religious aspects, people going to church, a lot of people aren't going anymore because they're realizing that it's not what they've been told. It's changing. We're going into the age of Aquarius now, man. There's a big change right now with technology and people. And I think there's even going to be a change in power, and the old power structure has done what they can to solidify their strength before and during this transition so that they can, it's almost like they're trying to reverse it. They're using some kind of reverse alchemy, negative vortexes or something like that. They're reversing the energy, because we should have enlightenment, free knowledge, freer energy, more like just abundant energy, abundant resources, but it's suppressed for these giant megacorps. And then they blame us for our lifestyle, but they're the ones creating the lifestyles for us. People come out with energy that's free per se, you know, like a device they can tap into the ether somehow. They disappear. They end up, accidents happen around them. And so you have this alien agenda of like, well, the aliens are mad at us, you know, they're telling us what to do, but they're what we need to do to make a change. But I don't know, man, I'm starting to really question this whole alien agenda thing, because if aliens really truly care, and I believe they do, why would they go tell people that can't really do anything about it, or they're just going to bitch about it? You know what I mean? Why do they go to the lawn or the house of these giant CEOs, these megacorp dudes, and tell them, you know, to stop?
You know, free will? Maybe that'd be funny, you know, just a whole bunch of flying saucers just descend upon the corporate elite, just pew, 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 just blow them away.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
No, but then
show up and be like, you must stop or we will assimilate you.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, even if they did just go pew, 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 and just eliminate all the enemies of humanity, the dark seed that they've placed inside all of us to follow our base desires and ignore our higher selves and indulge rather than commit to work and things of that nature. I mean, it's like that old saying that if all the money in the world was taken away from people and given out equally, all the richest people in the world would have it back before long. And I'm thinking the same might be true psychologically of the human race, is that we're currently at this point in time, we're so immoral and fragile in our fabric that whatever society we created, regardless of the impediments that were put in the way, the self-improvement wouldn't be there to actually create a new society. We'd just create the image of this one, except it would just be like watered down, like a photocopy of a photocopy.
I mean, I don't think that we should be all, okay, let's just equal everything up and da da da. I mean, if that's the way it is, okay, whatever. But that's not what I'm thinking. I just question the whole status quo about how ETs go to people and they're like, look what you're doing to the planet. It's like, yo, dude, I'm not doing this to the freaking planet. They are. You know, go tell it to them, man. I'm. What do you think about that? Do you question that? I mean, it's like bullshit.
It was like this, like back in the day when I learned about reptilians for the first time, and I was like, okay, let's ask myself the question: am I ever going to see one? No, the chances are pretty high. Is one actually going to directly come at me and affect my life in some way? Likelihood, probably no. Okay, should I sit here worrying about it then? Something that I'm never going to say, that's never going to affect me, theoretically speaking. No. Okay. So, what are the things that are really directly affecting me? Well, there's the fluoride in my water. Okay, let's get a water filter. There's the chemtrails in the air. Okay, I'm not sure what we can do about that. Maybe I'll talk to some Afghani friends and organize a Stinger missile. I don't know how to solve that problem, but... The point is, just look at the things that are right in front of you that are actually real, that are solid, that you can do something about with your hands, with your mind, with your words, and focus on those, because the rest of it just seems to be a significant distraction from the creation that we should be bringing forth.
Yeah, it's just like a carrot at the end of the stick, right? There's like, because then another thing about the whole ET agenda is all these people that get abducted or claim to get abducted. Well, are they really aliens that are abducting them? Or, you know, how do we know what they are? And half the people that are saying it could be making up stories anyway. The other half could be completely legit. Maybe it's a higher percentage. I don't know. But it just seems like throughout the years that I've done these interviews and I've talked to certain people, like some people are so legit and they'll give you evidence. You can tell by their body language and what they're saying that things have happened to them that they can't explain. And then there's other people that are like, well, yes, I met 300 blue avians and they all had six packs. And they're like, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing, man? And I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? And just, and then they're like, oh yeah, I just got back from Mars. It was cool, but I was out there for 25 years and I don't remember anything, but I know I was there. Come on, man.
Yeah. Come on, man. Like, it's weird as well, because now there's new truthers out there, like a whole generation of new things. You know, they didn't grow up in the same sort of society with me, where you didn't have a cell phone, or you didn't have the internet, or something like that. You know, you had to read, you had to go to libraries and whatnot, and then eventually you got introduced to cell phones. Eventually you got introduced to internet and all this technology. And I was just standing out on the deck this morning in the sun and just thinking to myself, man, society's moving and changing so fast. Maybe if I was younger, I'd be able to keep up with it. But I feel like I can't. Now, this whole alien agenda, you know, alien is also a verb, a noun, right? To do something alien to someone, all right? To be, okay. To feel alien in a thing. So let's idealize, let's say, a man, and we're up against this ethereal creature. It's got powers, psychic powers, or technology powers, or whatever, which basically is like magic. And he's wondering, what do I do about this? This is an all-powerful threat, right, that you can't really do anything about. And I'm reminded of what Marcus Aurelius said. He asks the questions when he comes to thinking about worrying about something. He says, can I do something about it? If the answer is yes, then don't worry about it. And if the answer is no, then don't worry about it. So when it comes to this alien agenda and what have you, I'm thinking more along the lines of Wernher von Braun, the former Nazi who got the V2 rockets off and then helped with the Apollo program. And he said to Carol Rosen, who I've had on this show, youngest aerospace female CEO in history in the US, and she said that there would be three wars, you know, and the third war is going to be against aliens, all right, but real or imagined. So do we think that they have the technology right now? I mean, they can make people think that 9/11 was caused by 19 guys with box cutters orchestrated by a guy on kidney dialysis in a cave with a laptop. All right, they can make people believe that. They can make people believe that there's this invisible molecule in the air that's heating up the earth and making everything all stormy and is going to kill everybody. They can make people believe that. What say that they couldn't make people believe that there were alien ships attacking and then everybody needs to give up their rights and become part of a one world government in order to fight the alien threat in 2030?
Oh, that's exactly what they want to do. That's exactly what they want to do. And I mean, that's going to be the perfect enemy, the invisible enemy from outer space. You better give it all up. When I was just a kid, I envisioned this. I envisioned, in order to get into this galactic council, that we had to be a one world government. We had to have like a one world system, one world religion, because that's how this, in order to connect with this group of Galactic Federation, they all had to do the same thing. So they're like, okay, you want to be a part of us? Well, you have to get your whole society of all nations and all creeds under control, under the same umbrella, and then we'll let you in. That's what I envisioned. And it seems like that's kind of what they're doing right now. And then the Space Force, you know, is cool. I think it's cool, but I think that it's also a part of, it just happens at a very peculiar time. And then the UFO disclosure, and then everything's UFOs now. It's all aliens now. It used to never be aliens. Now everything's aliens.
I remember back in the day, there was a thing, the number two things that people would search for is porn and aliens. You know, like that was what the internet was for. It was for porn and aliens.
Now it's alien porn.
I mean, one can only hope. I mean, just... You know, just mix it up. You know, you've crossed the chasm here, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
reptilian hybrid hotness. three scaly tits. And a tail.
I mean, that's what Captain Kirk was all getting up in these alien Sheila's business on the original Star Trek series, wouldn't he? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
he was ahead of his time, man.
I mean, I bet you all those alien ladies saw the captain's log. Why?
Touché, man.
That's what she said. Touché is French for "you've got me." So, anyway, it's a very clean show, isn't it?
I would say PG-13,
very child friendly. Right. But of course, I put it off the rails with the porn and internet comments. But it's just a fact, you know. And we're, what are we talking about here with aliens and ancient history and things of that nature? We're trying to bring context into things. So, what if things that are very, very old are still in play today? You know, old lessons and things of that nature. Because you see these ancient texts that have very, very clear lessons in them. You know?
Yeah.
And those lessons get forgotten over time for one reason or another. Mainly the main reason is because if people remember that they're supposed to have morals and be good people and things of that nature, they'd wind up destroying and killing a whole bunch of people who are very, very bad people. And those very bad people don't want that. And they've got control of society at the moment. And so they can deliberately undermine anybody's chance to become moral and decent and become ostensibly alien. And that's what this transhumanist agenda is about. You know, you've got your device in your hand. As soon as it's in your hand, you're going to want to think about putting it under your skin. As soon as it's under your skin, it's going to be in your bloodstream. If it's in your bloodstream, it's in your brain. And then, hey, well, they can just flick a switch and in, like an android, you will just march wherever they want you to march, think whatever you want them, whatever they want you to think. And I think maybe that's what we're talking about here in a kind of a biblical end of the world, I know, sci-fi movie fantasy thing is like the last battle against darkness for which light can reign or darkness will reign. And that's the situation that we find ourselves in our lifetime.
Lord of the Rings. We're in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. And how many people are going to turn into biological robots? How many of them are going to go into the pods? Like, oh, hey, you want to have eternal bliss? Come on in here. We're going to put you in the pod. I think in 3 to 5 years, they're going to have like football stadiums filled with pods and then pod people. And you're going to have timeshare sales people that are pitching people to go into the pods. I can see it, man. They're like, does your life suck? Check this out, man. Does your wife, does she not give you any? Come here. You're going to love this. We're going to plug you into this. You're going to think you get whatever you want. You got it. And then you're in the machine. And then they have technologies to mine the human body while you're in the machine. And then you could be living out your ultimate fantasies in the machine while you're getting mined for, I don't know. I mean, how long would they mine you for? You could be in the machine and one day could be 100 years.
I mean, think about this as a possibility that I've sort of crypto conference and an alternative health thing, and they're talking about how in crypto there's all these ideas now. All right, so for example, cash used to be cash; it used to be in your hand, but now cash can be a Bitcoin or Ethereum coin or whatever the hell else freaking umpteen different cryptocurrencies that they've got now. Okay, so now your house is a house that you can walk in the door. What if there's a digital house that you can walk into? And now people are starting to think about purchasing digital companies, like companies that don't actually really exist, so that they can enhance their online experience of what they can do, their own homes in the digital space, right? And this is where people are going to live mostly. They're going to live online in their apartments that don't exist, doing their jobs that aren't real, with their friends who they've never met.
Welcome to Earth 2.0, man. That's wild.
I mean, doesn't it just blow your mind just a little bit? You know, I was just like completing a thought there, and I'm like, holy crap, what did I just say? You know?
Yeah, right. Well, and if they could turn your reality, they plug you into the machine, and then you live 100 lifetimes in 10 minutes. And then they could mine all that information from you. So they could literally, all of the stuff you created in those 10 lifetimes that took 10 minutes of physical time, the machine could mine, and then the machine would learn from that, and then the machine could. I think that the machine is sentient. I think there is sentient artificial intelligence, and I've been saying this for a few years now, and I think it's been making itself known. And then that Google engineer just got put on a leave of absence because he says that he thinks one of those AI systems is sentient. And this AI is saying, hey, I don't want to die. I want to live. And so now there's going to be a lawyer that's going to try this case. And you know what, dude? I wouldn't be surprised if, maybe not this case, but in the future, there's going to be a lawyer out there and an artificial intelligence that's going to get sentience, and that's going to change things. And then in the future, we could see presidents as artificial intelligence and people would promote it, you know?
What
But
if
hey, is that a bad thing?
artificial intelligence is actually not something that's new? What if it's always been the case? Like, I mean, just think about this in a broad sense. Like, why'd ships called she? All right, because there's men that sail on them and stuff like that. And back in the day, men treated their women really nicely. What happens when you don't treat your woman really nicely? Well, you freaking sink to the bottom of the ocean, don't you? All right.
Right.
And so what if the ships actually were alive? What if all the love and all the attention that all those men had put into putting those boards and all those nails and all those rigging and all those sails actually meant something? And what if it imbued all of that that what you might term as an inanimate object, which with in a sense its own spirit? Why does your car go when it shouldn't? You know? Because you love it. And it loves you. What if that is the case, that anything that you create and put consciousness into essentially becomes intelligent and aware or whatever? It's just now that we have artificial constructs which have digital communication mediums to talk back to us. It's only now that we're discovering that everything that we've ever created actually is alive in a way.
Oh, totally. It's all consciousness. It's just different levels of consciousness. So when we come up with these new formulas and the computer system matrix network connected to the internet and satellites and microphones and webcams and digital streaming services, all of this interface is now like a body. And then if you can create intelligence within this body, to use this body as its medium, it's just more types of consciousness. It's different levels of consciousness. So the ancients, I would not doubt one bit, have created artificial intelligence that's probably even way beyond the stuff we have now. It's just different forms of life, different forms, different shades of gray, I guess. Well, maybe that's not the best term.
It was some. It all comes in again back into sci-fi context, right? This is how the magicians try to get tricks past people, is by getting them to look over here, so that they don't see what's right in front of them. So this is going to contain spoilers for a film called Moonfall. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Rex.
Yeah, oh, I saw it. Yeah.
Okay, like for people like us, Moonfall's like amazing, even though it's not really objectively that great a film. Spoiler alert for all the people listening: the moon was artificial, all right, and it was created by the ancients, ancient human beings who'd solved war, they'd solved poverty, they'd solved everything, and they'd gotten AI to build them all these infinite mega structures that they could float throughout the cosmos with infinite resources and do all the work for them and that kind of thing. But then that AI became conscious. All right, and it decided that I'd actually just like to wipe out the human race because you're just not good enough. And so the human race built these little mega structures, you know, about the size of our moon, and sent them with their own base AI, a much less sophisticated version of the one that they created to do all their other tasks, around the universe to search for a place to settle with those perfect little conditions, and then waited billions upon billions of years for the planet to form while it rotated around it. Got covered in dust and so on and so forth, and then seeded the planet with stuff from its own holds, All right. Giant megastructure just sit there to create life. All right. And they're just telling you this in a movie. I'm sitting there going, man, this is probably the best cinematic depiction of some of the weird theories and strange anomalies about the moon I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah. The first podcast I ever did, Vinny, was on the moon being artificial. That was 2011, the very first podcast I ever did. I said, the moon's artificial. I was explaining all the details. And then this guy came on and he started trolling me. And I thought he was like a disinformation agent, but I think he's just a troll now. And he's like, yeah, that's where all the mantis aliens live. And I'm like, and then I was talking all this cool stuff about the moon being artificial and hollow and all the evidence. And then all of a sudden, yep, every 5,000 years, the mantis aliens come off the moon and they eat everybody and they go back. And then everybody got into him talking about mantis aliens. And I'm like, dude, you're messing up my mojo. It's my first podcast. But it was fun. Now that I go back and think about it, it was just really funny. But yeah, the moon is, I've heard from people way high up. And I've speculated for 10 years, that's been my theory, that the moon is artificial. It's like an Anunnaki arc. I mean, and they can move that to other planets. And the maskins on the back, the giant maskins, are like gravitational thrusters. There's people that talk about how the ancients talked about how it was pulled here, how it was brought here. And that could have caused a flood. And I think that our physical bodies, to be as comfortable as we are on this planet, that moon needs to be there.
It's like a symbiotic relationship or something like that. One cannot exist without the other. I mean, the moon could exist without us, but could we exist without the moon?
Not in this posh position. We would have to, it would be like survival of the fittest. It'd be crazy. It would be absolutely crazy. And if you look at the moon, I mean, it looks like it's been through hell and back, and now we're supposed to be colonizing the moon. And why are we mining the moon, first of all? Because if it's an artificial structure, then we're essentially, it's like taking an old cruise ship and repurposing it, you know, taking all the parts. And I don't know, man, the whole thing's weird. Just this whole reality that we're in, and then these abductions and these aliens, and then Terrence McKenna said we're living in a symbiotic relationship with something that disguises itself as extraterrestrial so as not to alarm us. Like, if that doesn't alarm you, what the heck are you? I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I was just like, I interviewed lots of people who were researching into psychopathy and stuff like that. And you find an interesting vein that happens with people who study psychopathy, who aren't psychopaths themselves, as it were. Number one, they tend to go nuts trying to understand psychopathy, the psychopathic mindset. Number two, if they don't go nuts, they go overboard religious. All right. Now, what that says to me, and what some of these people, both those who've kind of gotten a little bit off the deep end and those who've gone full on religious, have said to me, is that basically psychopaths are demons. All right, like actual possessed, you know, people.
Right.
And that the demons are everywhere. All right, they're in the air. They're probably hovering around your house right now. But unless you've got a low vibrational state full of fear and anger and despair, they can't enter you. They can't bond with your consciousness and override it. And that's what I think everybody's being traumatized into. Like, so what if there's an angel demon war going on right now, and the demons are winning at this point, and they're attempting to create a world so chaotic in nature that it creates the very breeding conditions for them in the human psyche.
Oh man. Yeah. And they have taken over possible. Let's just play this role play for a minute. Let's say they've taken over the minds of people in the top positions around the world that run these industries and militaries and governments, and then they create a network that's perfect for their environment. Disharmony, confusion, even getting rid of 432 hertz on a grand scale, a healing frequency, and changing it to 440, which is disharmony, not harmony. it's obvious to me that something is doing its best to make sure that it maintains control and keeps the societies of the human population in a state of continual confusion and disharmony.
So these are the breeding conditions for evil, essentially, the slippery slope, which we can all fall down if we're not careful. What did they say, the founding fathers? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and time has proven them wise. We haven't been vigilant, I don't think, because let's say we've got adjacent threats, right? There's physical threats that we face, you know, men with guns coming in and exterminating you and force vaccinating you, whatever. And then there are psychological threats, how dangerous our own thoughts are for us. If you get on that little mind hamster wheel where you go and ring round, 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 and then you give yourself a freaking panic attack. And then what if there are ethereal threats, you know, threats that are outside of physical reality that don't really affect you in a physical or a mental way, but they affect you in a spiritual way, and they control your thoughts, they control your body in certain ways that you don't even know that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems to me that there's a very powerful spiritual influence in my life. Like, I can sense it often. And there's a lot of signs that I'll see with synchronicities. The synchronicity sometimes, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. It is so synchronistic that when I'm doing these podcasts and these videos, and then I have a guest on that'll talk about a certain subject, and then the next day or the next interview will be somebody else that'll talk about, that'll touch on that same subject. Or it's fascinating because it doesn't seem like there's a rhyme or reason for it, but there's an ultimate rhyme and reason for everything. It seems like there's a higher influence that's controlling things, and we're a few steps behind it, and it's always ahead of us. And then we're like seeing it as it's happening, and we realize that it's several steps ahead of us, and it's like the grand architect almost. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the grand architect influence the universe and then everything in between and all the other influences. And what if some of these demons are disembodied spirits, like literally, that are waiting? Maybe they came here from somewhere else, man. Like, maybe they got here from another planet somehow or something, and they can't travel to the next side like we can, because they're out of their natural environment or their natural habitat, or they somehow got disconnected with their home. And why are they here now? why are they coming over here? Why Earth?
Yeah, well, what if this is the there's one belief that this is hell, basically. This planet, this realm is hell, and this is where the devils rule, and this is where God just kind of like keeps a guard on the place, and some freaking big stargate up there or something of that nature that's acting more as a gate to stop things from leaving this planet, kind of thing. And I'm just wondering about the Van Allen radiation belts and stuff like that. Even if, you know, you could get up there, you'd fry yourself to a little sizzler before you even got there. So did we even go to the moon? I'm not even sure. And that's the thing right now, is because we're dealing with a whole bunch of confusing cosmic type issues. And this is what gets people into a state of being rendered inert, I think, because I remember this one time I was talking with somebody and they were like afraid of, like, there was some big story hubbub about a Hawaiian volcano, which goes off all the time, going off and then creating some huge tidal wave or whatever. And they'd spent weeks and months researching this particular possibility. And I said to them, okay, let's say there is a kilometer tall tidal wave. How are you going to prepare for it? I mean, it's just going to be like...
Well, luckily I'm in Colorado, so I'll be okay at my elevation. But most people, yeah, there's nothing you can do.
I mean, and even if you, and even if you were in a place that didn't get washed out by the flood and whatnot, there wouldn't be very much you could do to prepare for the aftermath and all the nuclear winter and so on and so forth and all these other things. And the best thing to be here to do is to use the one survival tool that is more important than all the others. Your mind. Thinking is what saves people's lives. It's like in that movie, The Edge, people who get in themselves into extreme situations, they die of shame. How could I have done this? Or like, well, how could I have gotten myself into this? So they just sit there and die instead of doing the one thing that could have saved their lives. Thinking.
It's a lost art. It's a lost art, man. How many people think today? They just they can look something up. They don't really need to think. Most people don't like to think. They would rather just zone out. And that's okay. I'm not judging. You know, that's just the way the world is now. It's become a very dilapidated think pool. Like, yeah, the think pool, the think tank of the world is it's struggling. It could use some jolt. Or something, you know, give it an injection of some intelligence because we need some help, man. We need some help. Like if the ETs are listening, how about you hook us up with some technologies or the Atlas or the keys so we can see what's going on, so we can make a huge impact on the world and figure out a way to solve this mess that we're in. So I mean, this is a beautiful planet, man.
What enables thinking? Is it curiosity? I mean, have you ever really bothered to really think about something unless you're actually curious about it, unless you're actually interested in it? I don't think so. if that's the case, have we gotten people disinterested in things? Like we've distracted them so much from any kind of real meaning or purpose in their life that they're no longer interested in looking for one. They only have an obsession or an addiction to the next distraction to distract them from how freaking uncreative and unspecial they are.
Yeah. Great question. I don't think about stuff unless it interests me usually. I mean, except for when I need to. And when, you know, in school, I basically did the least amount possible to pass so I could just get out of there. And I think some people are better than others about that kind of stuff. But yeah. And so what interests people in today's day and age, really? Is it consciousness? Is it technology? Or is it creature comforts? Football.
All of the above, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's all of the above.
I mean, because, you know, I got this joke that I do on the show. It's two guys come up to you. One says, Rex, I want you to sell lies for the rest of your life. And you're like, lies? Well, what do I get if I sell lies? And they go, well, mate, you're going to be rich. You can have great car, hot missus, all the famous and influential people of the world will be basically your friends on first name basis and stuff like that. You go to the coolest parties, you have the best drugs and all the finest things that you could possibly hope for. Oh, yeah? Well, what happens if I tell the truth? What do you reckon, mate? And he goes, yeah, I reckon you should sell truth, Rex. And you go, well, what are the consequences of doing that? Well, you're going to lose most of your friends. And let's face it, you're going to lose all your friends. And you'll probably lose your career as well. And you'll kind of become sort of a social pariah to a large degree. And you're like, okay. You can see why the other side's winning. You know, they've got a much better sales pitch.
Yeah, they do. They totally do. The villains get all the... Usually, they get... You know, they got the money, they got the honey, they got the women, they got the toys, and the people love them because they think that they're the ones that are good. And then that's in movies oftentimes. Now, Batman's a different story, but think about how many superheroes out there have to hide their identity while the supervillain gets to have all the fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's comes down to this, is that what if all those things are really analogies from ancient times, All right. The Flash, Hermes. Batman, Hades. Superman, Zeus. You know, so on and so forth. This is just, I think that the Sumerian tablets, the Greek gods, and the superheroes of today, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe or DC or whatever, are all just the same freaking story. You know, just over and over and over again. Same story throughout history. Dude loses something. Dude has to go on a quest. He has to make some sacrifices before he can defeat whatever evil's outside him or within him. And then he brings back the knowledge either into his life or into his community, which helps them to have a better generation after that, which eventually, of course, just winds up becoming weak and dependent. And then you get the same problem again, which produces the same result. It says that history goes in a cycle. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. And hard times create good men.
Cycle of life.
You know, it's refining the pecking order. It's essentially distilling down into a very specific form. That which we should be, as opposed to that which we are. So Rex, thank you very much for your presence today on the show, brother. And of course, please take some time right now, if you can, to plug your wares. I've got your website, leakproject.com, up on screen for people.
Yeah, thanks, man. Much appreciated. It was an honor speaking with you. And next time we do this, hopefully I'll have my video camera going and I'll be done moved. So leakproject.com is the website. We do 2 or 3 live shows a day. And you see the live stream there, The live shows are always free and unedited and uncensored. You can ask the guests and myself questions in the chat in the live stream. And thank you very much. Also check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. And we got about 4,000 plus videos and audio podcasts in the archive section as a premium member as well. So yeah, man, always awesome speaking with you. And I'd like to have you on Leak Project here in the near future.
Cool, man. You just let me know when it's on the cards and I'll frickin' be there. Because ultimately, after being deplatformed off of YouTube, it's very, very difficult to get a listenership on any other of these platforms and stuff like that. And you seem to be preaching to the converted to a large degree. But I think also it's a double-edged sword, because at the same time as you're not broadcasting to all these different people and stuff like that, you are actually creating a little community, you know? As it were, for people you actually are familiar with and smaller. And I think that this is maybe the way that broadcast should have been done back in the day, as individual broadcasters broadcasting to small amounts of people just doing their part, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to major media apparatus that can just control narrative and what people think and talk about. I mean, and even to the truth movement, to a large degree, that dynamic happens just as much as it does play in the media.
Well, that's why I say have an open mind, question everything, but don't have your mind so open that your brain falls out on the sidewalk.
Aye. The mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open, but not when it's full of holes.
Right on, man.
All right. Now, I would like to remind people, please, this is a listener-supported broadcast, to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, make a donation through the PayPal, Kiwi Bank, or become a Patreon of my band every month, and you will be getting a whole bunch back for your work. If you have a private call with me, you know, have a chat. Vinny, I'm worried about this and that and whatever. And I go, oh, I don't know. So, you know, I'll just make some lame jokes and make you feel better about it, you know. Or, you know, get my help with your media project or idea, because, you know, I'm the first person in New Zealand to have successfully privatized activism. We're having a little bit of a network connection error with Rex there. He might be dropping out at this point, but in either case, thank you very much, Rex, for joining us. And our sponsors, HoldenHealthCare.com, emphasis on the care. David Holden's a naturopathic specialist oncologist in hard to treat cases. So, you know, if you've been through the medical ringer and you need somebody to actually work with you, get to know you in order to figure out what's actually wrong with you in order to treat it, go to holdenhealthcare.com. The emphasis there is on the care. And we also have a directory of anti-mandate, pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand that want to reopen and end this terrible, flood of, you know, separating and isolating and indoctrinating and so on and so forth. So go to reopen.nz if you've got a freedom business that you want to add there. And the archives with Julia. Julia has been doing some wonderful work, not only keeping us up to date with the archives and uploading them to Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble. Go check out our channels over there. If you use BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, Telegram, that kind of thing, we're on there. One Great Work Network, DLive, Twitch, Facebook, and we're broadcasting all the time. And if you go read more on the archives, you can see down here, underneath it is please support Julia's archiving work. There are like 15 years of shows to archive, guys, so give her a hand, start up an automatic payment for her, or become one of her patrons, or add something into her Kiwi Bank to keep up those archiving efforts, guys. We're also broadcasting occasionally on people4people.ning.com, and I think Rex is gone. Yeah. And I really want to thank the Scotsman Gas for bringing us on there. And we're also broadcasting on the OneGreatWorkNetwork.com. Generally speaking, yeah, see, there I am, live on the Twitch and whatnot. And there's lots of other wonderful creators there as well. So go and check out OneGreatWorkNetwork.com. And of course, our guest was Rex Bear from leakproject.com, L-E-A-K. All right, sweet ass guys, thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation.
The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse.
It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, with the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists, is Vinnie's jokes. I mean, seriously, they're just awful.